Welcome to the Dreamcatcher Podcast, a place where you'll receive a boost of inspiration, practical advice, and tools to maximize your success and personal happiness. And that's not all. You'll also get plenty of guidance on how you can use your gifts, talents, and compassion to contribute towards making the world a better place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a preview of what's in store and to also receive a free ebook. To sign up, simply visit www.thedreamcatch.com. Now it's my pleasure to introduce you to the host of the Dreamcatcher Podcast, Celine Chinoy.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Dreamcatcher Podcast Interview Special. If you're someone who is longing to find your unique creative voice and to tap into the immense creative potential within you, then you're going to love this podcast episode. At some point, we've all faced creative blocks and been our own worst critic when it comes to our creations. When I was a budding writer, I struggled with these issues all the time. But with practice and with the help of advisors such as the lady I'm speaking with in this episode, I've learned to manage these challenges better. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my guest expert on creative living, Lisa Tenner. An authority on book writing and publishing, award-winning book coach Lisa Tenner guides experts, entrepreneurs, and visionaries to joyfully write and publish highly successful books. Lisa blogs for the Huffington Post, serves as the faculty of Harvard Medical School's publishing course, and teaches award-winning book writing courses. To learn more about Lisa and her services, and to receive a free gift, you can visit her website at www.lisatenner.com. I believe that we're all creative beings with our own unique voice and talents. That's why I feel the need to offer free valuable resources such as this podcast so that you'll have the knowledge and tools to tap into your creative talents. I hope that you'll be inspired to do this after listening to my interview with Lisa. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you, Celine?
I'm doing great, thanks. It's a pleasure to be speaking with you today. I'm really looking forward to digging deep into the topic of creativity, more specifically, how we can find our creative voice and tap into our highest creative potential. And I think that you're one of the best people to be giving us advice on this subject. So thanks so much for making the time to be here.
Thank you. It's an honor, and it's always fun to talk about tapping into our creativity.
Perfect. So are we ready to get started?
Yeah.
Great. Okay, so let's start out by talking about your journey, your professional journey. Could you tell us a little bit about how you transitioned into a career as a writing and publishing coach and an expert on accessing our creative potential?
Sure. It was really roundabout. Okay. You know, As a kid, I'd always imagined being a writer, maybe not always, but most of the time it was something, you know, in my mind. And I really just read fiction. I wasn't even a great reader until high school. I was a very slow reader. And I think that's because I, you know, pronounced like all the words in my head. So I was slow. But my father's an English teacher. My parents were both avid readers. And then in college, I took a lot of writing classes. Every semester I took one or two, and I almost double majored in writing, but I didn't want to take an extra semester and have to write a thesis. So mm-hmm. I was really all except for the thesis would have, you know, had enough courses in writing. Right. So it's always been a love of mine. And then, well, I worked in industry for about 3 years, went back for business school, then another sort of half a year. And then I worked in a nonprofit for 10 years.
Right.
And during that time, I actually got somewhat sick and really searching, you know, kind of for how to heal. And that process really brought me back into my creativity mm-hmm. and brought up the idea for my first book. Mm-hmm. And so it really was when my first book got published, and it's called The Ultimate Guide to Transforming Anger.
Right.
So I was teaching anger workshops and thinking like, this is so not what I want to do.
Right.
And I realized it was sort of like a download in a yoga class where I'd been asking the universe kind of what's next. This doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
And it was like this download about teaching people what I learned in writing my first book.
Yeah.
So that was really when I first realized I wanted to be what I first thought, a creativity coach. And then I realized, no, a writing coach.
Right.
And then it's become even more specialized as a book coach and really helping people write and publish their books. But it started kind of way back when in some ways, and then also really got clear in that yoga class as this sort of divine download.
Right. That's interesting. When you say divine download, like what was that experience like?
It's like the only week I think of my life where I'd been doing yoga every single day.
Right.
And it's Svarupa yoga. So you get, you know, I think your spine gets really straight. So I feel like I was like a better channel for it somehow.
Right.
And, you know, I'd been asking this question over and over, and I was in meditation. I think it was at the end of class.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it just suddenly, like, there it was like, oh, it's about this.
Right.
And it was sort of, I'm not visual, I'm kind of more kinesthetic.
Okay.
So it was like a knowing in my body of, oh, this is it, you know, and I kind of like had not the full picture because it really just like step by step sort of showed itself over time. And I feel like the career led me along more than me being strategic about it.
Right.
It sort of showed me what it wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
But in that moment, there was like a whole chunk of it that just sort of I felt in my being and then sort of tried to write out what that looked like. And I think I did even draw a picture, even though I'm not that visual, of kind of what this business might be like. And I, you know, saw a website and teaching some classes and coaching people. But it was just like a knowing, an inner knowing.
Right.
Like, and kind of all at once, like, boom, there it is.
Yeah. But it seems like you got it in bits and pieces, too. As you're telling your story, I mean, you actually also had to take a detour when you started teaching about anger management. You had to take that detour to know that that's not right for you. So.
Yeah. And I think that's often true in life that different things will teach us what we want sometimes by showing us what we don't want.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I need more of this.
Right. That's a very interesting story. Thanks for sharing that with us. So I believe that we're all creative beings with our own unique voice and talents. So I'd love to hear your views on this. More specifically, I'd like to know your thoughts on how we can develop our creative potential and create our own sense of original style.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, some of it I think has to do with being as opposed to doing.
Right.
We're so focused on doing. And I find myself, you know, if I'm doing a lot, it can be harder to tap into the creative. So the first thing is to just make space for it.
Right. Yes. Yes.
And I think also, not just, okay, now I'm going to create, but really embracing activities that support that. So like I would say, spend some time in nature every day, you know, walk, breathe deeply, things like yoga or qigong or tai chi,
right,
or dance or some kind of movement. All of those things, I think, help us connect to our creativity and our inner life mm-hmm. more deeply.
People don't really make mm-hmm. time for that these days.
That's right. And it's so critical. So the first thing is really about creating and clearing up space in your psyche and in your day, in your mind, your body, like everywhere. Clearing some space for this to come in and to connect. So, you know, I would say that's really the first piece. And then, you know, another is really just to create opportunities. So create times that you're planning to write. And mm-hmm. I sometimes like to go, Rhode Island has all these beautiful libraries. Mm-hmm. Everyone's different. They often have these incredible views. The library in North Kingstown, for instance, has mm-hmm. this beautiful view of like a salt marsh kind of area.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can see birds. And so, you know, I like to go to libraries because that's such a great place to write. And it kind of takes me out of my day to day. You know, I'm in my office all day. So
yeah. A change of setting, like a different just location to work.
Yeah. And often something that's inspiring, like in nature, sometimes people also find like cafes can be a great place.
I personally love cafes, working in cafes. Something about the smell of coffee and just having like a smooth jazz soundtrack playing in the background, you know?
Music is a great catalyst too. And the other thing is, another time that I often write more prolifically is just first thing in the morning. So I don't always have that luxury because I tend to be a late sleeper. I stay up late and I have kids. So, but I noticed like during school vacation, when our schedule was really relaxed, I didn't have to get anybody to school. I was writing in the morning more prolifically. And the great thing about writing in the morning is you've just been in that dream state and sleep state. And so you're much more kind of still connected to that whole world that's more symbolic and evocative. So, so you've got that connection to your creativity.
I totally agree.
Really close at hand.
I agree with you, Lisa. As someone who writes a lot, I write my blog, The Dream Catcher. I definitely do most of my writing in the morning because that's when I feel like my mind is sharp and my thoughts flow more easily at that time of the day. I don't know why, but that seems to be the case for me.
Yeah.
Those are some great tips. And also, I find music, I mean, I personally love artistic pursuits. I love watching movies. That also tends to kind of jumpstart my creativity. So, I mean, I guess it depends on your, you know, your creative style and your preferences, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Find what turns you on. You know, sometimes it could be playing with a child, or, you know, it could be doing something like collaging, you know, just letting yourself play without having a specific goal in mind can sometimes free things up. And then if you write after that, that can also be a great way to access, you know, again, your creative voice, because you've just been in that space of non-judgment where you're not editing and you're just playful.
Yeah. I love that. That's so true.
The other thing I did recently, I guess not that recently, but like within the past couple of years, is I took an improv class. We have this incredible theater near us. It's a community theater, and they offer these wonderful classes. And the teachers there are just so great. It's called Contemporary Theater Company. And so I took a class there in improv just because like I wanted a place where I could play and access that sort of spontaneous part of me without it being part of my work.
Right.
And I felt like, okay, this improv, like it's not part of my work. And I'm not great with improv because you really have to not be in that mode of like, how do I look? What are people thinking? Is this funny? Is this cool? Am I like making a fool of myself? You have to let go of that. And I'm not always too good at that. So it was a challenge for me and I kind of knew it would be, but there are moments of sheer joy and like, oh, this is so much fun.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I think, what we're aiming for. So I think things like that too, just stepping outside your comfort zone, trying something that you might not even be good at, but you're allowing yourself to be bad at it and explore it and just, you know, experience it without having to put a label good or bad. So that's another thing.
Yeah, because I think so. Being that state of play and just getting out of a comfort zone, I think it also does a good job in kind of silencing that critic that's within us. That was actually going to be one of my questions about, like, how do we deal with our inner critic so that we become more confident and we stop second guessing the quality of our work? Like, what tips do you have about that?
Yeah,
because that is a big issue for a lot of people who are doing creative work.
Yeah. So one thing is to promise yourself like, okay, this is writing time. It's not editing time, and have separate time for editing so that when you're in writing time, you really just write.
Right.
And you don't edit. And so it takes some discipline, right? Because, you know, that editor is going to want to speak up and edit. So that's the first thing, is just like, okay, I am just writing and I'm not going to stop and I'm not going to evaluate it. And that I'll do another time. So that's the first thing. So you really get the words on the page or, you know, in your computer. And then the next piece is, I do have like these five steps that I teach for writing in the zone. And I taught them also for creativity when I first came up with the system. Mm-hmm. But the first step is really to sort of create sacred space within you, like acknowledge that this is special time for your creativity, you know, mm-hmm. and kind of clear your mind. And when I first talked about this step, I called it enter the gate. It's like you're entering this garden of creativity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're kind of entering this special space,
yeah.
special inner space. And then the second step is to read your intention and goals aloud, or read your vision statement aloud. So like when we work with books, we have a vision statement we create. That's the vision for our book. And you can read that aloud to kind of get back in touch with your passion and your vision.
Right.
But you could also just, you know, say your intention of what you want to do. Like, you know, I want to write a poem about such and such, or I want to free write today, mm-hmm. whatever your intention is. And the next step is to invite your muse to just consciously connect with that part of you, that creative source within mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. And you can do that aloud. You can just kind of close your eyes and do it within. And then the next is to just write. And the final step is gratitude, because when you feel grateful, even if you only wrote a tiny bit, or even if you just sat there, but you didn't work and you thought about what you're going to write, mm-hmm. whatever you did to feel grateful is going to set you up for the next time. And it also fosters that relationship with your creative source. You know, instead of saying, oh, you didn't produce enough, you're saying thank you.
Yeah.
You're focusing on the positive. And so that really sets things up for the next time.
Yeah. I noticed that, like, the creative source and our muse, it almost seems like it's a different entity. Am I correct? It seems like that's what you're saying.
I really encourage people to just go with how it feels within them. So some people experience the muse as something outside of them.
Right.
And sometimes people experience the muse as within them.
Yeah.
And it's almost like semantics. It's however you experience your muse.
Right.
So I try not to even label it. It's like however you experience it. And, you know, sometimes the muse shows up in a symbolic way. You know, mm-hmm. a woman who was writing about an accident at sea, her muse showed up as the ocean.
Right.
And I've had people's muse show up as a hawk or a mouse or a jester, or, you know, archetypal images.
Right.
Sometimes it shows up as like this next door neighbor who passed away, you know, so I remember that from someone. Or it might just be this felt sense of connection. You know, I've had times where I've asked people to lead me in my own exercise. And, you know, my muse was just like this sense of connecting with something. Or you might just hear that voice that's in your head that you always hear when you're thinking.
Right.
And that's fine too. It doesn't have to be you know, some angelic being. It's like however you experience that connection in that moment, it can change moment to moment too.
Right.
I think of it as your creative source.
Right. It seems like it's a totally intuitive process, you know, and it's unique to everyone.
Yeah.
And how do we find sources of inspiration so that we keep consistently producing great work?
Wow. Like, again, I would say creating space, you know, and nature is the biggest source of inspiration. And working with someone right now who she is a dream coach. And so she has like I guess the biggest dream dictionary on the web. It's called Cafe au Soul.
Oh, okay.
So cafe and then AU and then the word soul. And what Carrie does is, so she helps people really get at, you know, kind of what their dreams are telling them.
Right.
And she also is an interpreter of the I Ching. And so she also has on that same website, there's some I Ching stuff. But I, you know, like she really emphasizes dreams and nature as a source to, you know, enlightenment, right? And personal growth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the same goes for creativity, that working with your dreams, working with what shows up in nature, what shows up in your life, when you have that sort of inquisitive attitude, you know, mm-hmm. curious attitude, and about what's going on in life. Like there's a bird right now on this bare branch outside my window.
Yeah.
You know, what does that evoke for me? And really letting nature, letting your dreams speak to you, that's going to really help with your creativity in general. Because both things, I think, are such a source and a fuel for creativity. So, you know, that might be a really good starting place, I think.
Right.
And yeah, her website is really inspiring. So it's cafeosoul.com.
Oh, great. I will definitely check it out. So it seems like being in a state of just being curious and being in the state of inquiry, so that you just stay open to inspiration, because it can come from anywhere, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it can come from odd places.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think, too, it comes from, like, not your mind working at 1,000 miles an hour.
Yeah.
But, you know, your mind kind of being a little bit free, right? Like those times where we're daydreaming, or between wake and sleep where ideas come to us.
Right.
Or in that yoga class, right? When we're not, like, trying to solve a problem, where we're being more open. Like, that's often when the breakthroughs come.
Right.
My mother-in-law, she'll put a note under her pillow, and like, if there's a problem she wants to solve, she'll put a note under her pillow. And I think it's usually like, the answer to such and such is,
that's
coming to me when I awake or something.
Yeah. That's
yeah. And she'll read it before bed, and she'll read it when she wakes up. And she said, you know, sometimes she gets it the next day, and sometimes it takes 3 days, but it works.
Oh, I love that.
So that can be, yeah.
And I mean, I think also journaling helped, you know, practices like journaling, automatic writing. I personally love journaling a lot because, I don't know, it somehow makes my thoughts more cohesive. And in between, I get these streams of consciousness while I write. I mean, that works for me. And I mean, I've heard in general, the act of writing, you know, it can be really healing and therapeutic. And I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, James Pennebaker did research on that. And that's absolutely correct, that there is this therapeutic role it plays. And in fact, I think with trauma, like the people who wrote about it experienced the most healing.
Right. Oh, that's okay. That's interesting. I mean, do you do a lot of journaling? Do you recommend that as a way to jumpstart our, you know, our creative potential?
Yeah, I definitely recommend it. And, you know, I go in and out of journaling. And I think the more creative times in my life, I am just writing in my journal and, you know, kind of writing poetry or writing a letter to a part of myself. Or there are ways we can journal that also, you know, or it can be really engaging. And I think over the course of a life, you start to find out which ones work for you. And they're kind of spontaneous. It's not like I think, oh, now I'm going to write a poem.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like I wake up with these thoughts, and then I grab my journal and start writing a poem. So, you know, it's often more like words are stuck in your head, and you start to write them down and then realize what it is.
Yeah. Lisa, I was just wondering, like, the kind of practices you and I are talking about, it would probably work for people who tend to be more introverted and, you know, they have a certain kind of temperament. They're more reflective and they think about stuff. What about people who tend to be outgoing and extroverted and they have a tough time sitting still, you know, they're busy, they got to, you know what I mean? Like the classic, networker, like how do they access their creativity when they're so tied up? They've got so much going on.
Yeah, that's a great question. And actually, you know, on a Myers-Briggs test, I took it the first time and I think I was an extrovert. And I took it another time and I was an introvert.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
I think, you know, some of us are kind of on the line too. And everybody has both within us. So I would say, for the extrovert, it might still be really helpful to tap into those more introverted activities.
Right.
But one great way to do it is to, and I've done this myself, is meet friends at the library. Or I have a friend, Tracy, who has this beautiful view of the water. And we go to her house and, you know, in the winter we're inside, in the warmer weather we're outside on her patio.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just write together. And sometimes we share what we're writing and sometimes we don't. We just write. But it can be nice just to be in the company of others. Going to a cafe is another way.
Right.
You can be in the company of others or join a writing group and, or take a writing class and maybe one where you're actually writing in class if you want to be around people and then sharing what you wrote. So yeah. So
those are
maybe some ways too.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, my next question is, it seems like people don't read books as much as they used to. And I kind of get this feeling that people are just getting more casual in the way that they speak and their mannerisms. And I just feel like we're losing touch with, you know, the beauty of words, language. And I just like to know, what do you think about that? Do you agree? Do you not agree?
I think that it's a really insightful observation.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I do think, well, everybody's lamented in their age that there's this, the arts are not upheld in the way they were, or right. So it makes me curious again, like, well, great works came out of the 1960s and the 1970s and the 1980s, even when people were saying, oh, we've lost touch with great art. So I think that it will evolve. And if you look at some rap music, I mean, a lot of it is disturbing to me. I have a 17-year-old, so
yeah,
I kind of hear,
yeah,
you know, some stuff that really...
Just listen to the music, the pop culture. I mean, there's just the music in the 80s, the 90s, which I personally love. I mean, the lyrics, they had meaning, you know? There was a certain level of depth to it. And
yeah,
now I don't feel that anymore.
Well, I would say I don't like the violence in it, and especially, you know, a lot of the attitude towards women is really disturbing to me.
Yes.
On the other hand, there's some incredible wordplay. And I don't know, like, just, you know, one person I've heard, Chance the Rapper, I mean, he's certainly got away with words.
Right.
You know, language is not dead, and people are still using language in creative ways. And it may not be what you're used to. It may not be what we're listening to, but there's still lots going out there that's creative. And so, you know, I have to think that we'll continue. I guess, you know, my kids are readers. And so
that's great.
I also see.
That's great. Yeah.
And my youngest is at a Montessori school. And the kids in his class, their biggest passion, this uh-huh. group of boys especially, uh-huh. they love to write. And okay. so you've got all these kids, but the girls too. There's some girls that my son says are his favorite writers in the class. Okay. So, like, these kids are passionate about writing and passionate about words. Mm-hmm. So it's still alive and well. I mean,
okay. That's encouraging.
It may be that there are fewer readers, right. but there's still tons of voracious readers. And, you know, maybe people will get turned on to words more again or turned back on to that. But we'll see, I guess. Time will tell. And it does take, you know, certainly, I mean, texting is not generally a high art form, although it can be, but for the most part, it's not. And I do think if we're just on our devices and not interacting with people, it dumbs us down. But I guess I see it as like the pendulum swings. I don't think we're going to stay in that. I just think humans are not made to just interact with devices. And so I think it's going to change.
Yeah. Yeah, I sure hope you're right. Okay. On that note, Lisa, let's bring this wonderful session to a close. I thank you for sharing all those gems of wisdom with me and my listeners.
My pleasure. It's been wonderful. And, you know, just I love your questions. They've made me think and they've made me dig in. So that's always the sign of great interview.
Oh, thank you so much. And I have to say, for those of you interested in learning more about Lisa's work, you can visit her website at www.lisatenner.com. That's LISATENER.com. Okay, so Lisa, have a great day.
Thank you. You too. And I will say on the website, there is an Inspired Author Support Kit for free. So you can sign up and get that free kit.
Okay, I'll make sure I mention that.
Thanks.
Okay. Have a great day.
Okay, well,
bye.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed what you just heard, please subscribe to my podcast and feel free to share it with your friends and family. Take care and speak soon.